where I'm at, but anyhow, I'm here, amen. But it's a great joy to be here with Pastor Dawson and his lovely wife, and you good people, amen. Good to see y'all. It's good to be here on Wednesday night and see a good crowd. I guess it's a good crowd. Looks a good crowd to me. Most churches I go to, if I got 10 people in the church, I'm doing all right, amen. So down south, it's about gone, amen. Down there, it's almost gone for sure. But anyhow, we're here, and it's good to have my wife with me, Tamala Tilly. She's with me. She used to be Logan, but now she's Tilly. But anyhow, she's with me tonight, and I appreciate her tagging along with me, that we might be able to see some of the things and enjoy some of the sights and scenes that the Lord has put on this earth for us to see. Amen? We've been very busy. You know, this world is different. I was sitting there thinking a while ago how things are happening in our world so drastically. Things are changing. So many things are changing today. And so many Christians are changing. Christians are not like they used to be. I remember starting out on deputation back many years ago, back in probably in the 70s, mid-70s. And I remember it wasn't a matter if anybody was going to get saved. It was how many was going to get saved in the church services. You hardly ever went to a church service where it wasn't lost people in the church. Where you give an invitation, people walk the aisle and get saved. But today you don't see that. Very few people are now getting saved. I heard a preacher say one time years and years ago, I was in Bible school, and he said something is happening to the gospel. My ears perked up as to the matter of the gospel. He said something's going on with the gospel. Something's happening. Something's wrong with the gospel. And I got to thinking, what in the world could he say that would be wrong with the gospel? And he said, well, we could say that it's lost its power. But I'd be talking like a fool. Because the gospel has never lost its power. Never will it lose its power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He went on to say, I was interested in what he's going to say next. Next thing he said is the fact that the gospel has not been given. That's the reason people are not responding to it. They've never heard it. How can they respond to something they haven't heard? People are waiting, not only here, but around the world. They're waiting to hear the gospel. Many today will die and spend eternity in a devil's hell without ever hearing one time that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. I hear a lot of people saying about the gospel, talking about the gospel, what the gospel can do and all the rest of it. But what is the gospel? Of course, we know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And if we don't believe that, I wrote down something the other day that I was talking to a preacher, and I've got it written down here. I promise you, I do somewhere. But he was saying about this matter of the gospel, and he said this: there's two phases of the gospel. Everybody that's a Christian's got to believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Got to believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess with thy mouth, believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believing the gospel puts us in Christ. But he went on to say something else, and I like this, is understanding the gospel. You say, well, it's about the same thing. Not necessarily. You think about it. By believing what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, suffering, bleeding, dying, buried, rose again, coming again, by the way, too. And if we believe that, the Bible says if we believe that, that we can be saved. And then he went on to say something else. It's understanding the gospel. When a man, a woman, boy, girl understands the gospel. Let me tell you somebody that understood the gospel. Remember the Samaritan woman? Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. And when he got to Samaria, there was a lady there waiting on him that he might be able to explain to her about himself, that he was the living water, that all they got to do is believe on him and that they could have eternal life. And when she believed on him, she got saved. But when she understood what she had, what did she do? She went to the city, told everybody about it. And so there's a difference in believing the gospel and understanding the gospel. I put it down here. Believe believing the gospel to be saved, but understanding the gospel to the care of the gospel to others or to the uttermost parts of the world. Or not just to the uttermost. You know, so many times our missions conference is basically on foreign missions. That's not what missions is all about. Missions is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost. It's all over the world at the same time. If we're just doing Jerusalem and not doing uttermost, then we're not completing the Great Commission. If we're doing just Jerusalem and not Judea and Samaria and the uttermost, we're not doing this. That one little word, both. And so when we talk about the gospel, I'm going into places now that people has never, ever heard the gospel. I was in Iraq several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it was. And while I was in Iraq, some unusual things was happening. People were getting saved. There was people that was waking up with dreams on their hearts about the Lord Jesus. All kinds of things. Now, we know that we're not saved by dreams. That's a bunch of nonsense. But at the same time, God was using that it would drive them to a place where that when they did hear the gospel, that they would believe it and be saved. And that was happening all over Iraq. In fact, there was 45 house churches that was planted there in Iraq. And what a great job that was happening there. And I tried to tell the churches back here in America, if we don't go through the open doors that God has opened, He may close them. And that's what He's doing all over our land, all over the world. I heard a statistic the other day that there was 8,000 churches that closed this door, Baptist churches that closed their doors last year in America. That's unreal. We can't continue like that. So there's unusual things that's going on in our world. There's unusual things going on in our America. And what we need to do is that we need to get back to the very basics of the gospel, preaching the gospel, get the gospel to people. I've got so now, even when I go to churches, I pray the gospel. If they ask me to pray, I pray. I thank the Lord for His death, His burial, His resurrection, that men might be saved. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. If you don't believe the gospel, there's no way you can be saved. The Bible says that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And by believing the gospel, that's how we get saved, understanding the gospel. Not just saying gospel and just not knowing a little bit about it, but if we understand the gospel, we'll understand that man that's next door, that man across the street, that man across town, that man across America, that man in the next, in the uttermost parts of the world. If they hear not the gospel, they'll die and go to hell. And so as we go to different places, we're going into places now in Africa. You know there's 800,000 villages in Africa that's never been reached with the gospel? 800,000 villages. That's unreal. I mean, every church across America has got people that's working in Africa, but yet we've not reached it. We've not even tipped the iceberg as to what's going on and what could go on if the gospel goes. See, what's happening in our world today? I heard a dear old saint of God, old John DeMay. John DeMay was down in Africa, and some missionaries, 4 or 5 missionaries, had a big compound. Oh, they had nice houses, and they had helicopters and airplanes, and you name it, had everything. And old John DeMay was a little old boy. Before the missionaries ever got there, and he told the story how that he was sitting on a little board or whatever it was inside of a little village, a little council of villages, and they said, "There's good news that's coming to our village this week," and they was all excited. Everybody was all thrilled. Oh man, somebody's bringing good news. They never thought about the good news being the gospel. And John DeMay said the man came in, sit down, and he began to preach the gospel. And he said for the first time in his life as a little boy, he said, "I slipped out of my pew, out of my seat, and I came and I knelt down at the altar." And he said, "I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to come in my heart and save me." And he said, "Nobody dealt with me because I was just a little boy and nobody cared." And he said, "I didn't know what I was going to do, but," he said, "I just made up my mind." 5 years of age, by the way. 5 years of age, made up his mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. And at 5 years of age, he did that. And he built 54 Baptist churches in Liberia. I could tell you a story about old Timotheus. Timotheus, what a man, what a man. I could go into all these different stories, how that God has touched a little life, how that somebody carried the gospel to them, and he believed the gospel, and when he believed it and he understood it, not only did he get transformed, but he transformed his whole tribe there in Bantuma, in that area of a village, if you want to call it, 925,000 people that lives in that village. No running water. Today I'm talking about. I'm not talking about 25, 50, 75 years ago. No running water, no electricity, no paved roads, no nothing. But yet he went in there and built 60 Baptist churches. What can I say? The gospel transforms people. See, that's what happened to me. That's what happened to you. There was a day that you didn't know which way to go and which way to turn. You had no sense of what God could do in your life. But one day, yonder, that when somebody presented the gospel, you believed it. And by believing the gospel, he transformed your life. And that's just what Brother Dawson said a moment ago. Hey, when God's man preaches God's word, and when God's word produces the gospel message of the Lord Jesus, and people believe that, it transforms them. I don't understand this business that people get saved on Sunday morning and never show up again. That don't make sense to me. Because when I got saved, some people say, well, you know, I got saved and got backslidden for a few years. I never had that to happen to me. I mean, I've been backslidden on many occasions, but I never got out of church. Yeah, I've been backslidden a lot of times, but hey, there was times that brought me back through prayer. See, all I'm saying is, when God's gospel, I mean, really gets a hold of you, gets down deep in your heart, hey, listen, you ain't the same. God will change you, transform your life. Now, the question comes to my mind, and I could tell you a little bit about my work. I guess some of you like to know who I am, where I'm from, which way I'm going. But the Lord has done marvelous. I was just down in the Bahamas. Just my wife and I went down to the Bahamas just recently. Brother Ricardo, I don't know if you know him or not, but Brother Ricardo, I let him. He was a gambler, drunkard. He got paid and gambled all his money on the weekend, went to his mother, and he asked his mother for money. She wrote him a check for $800. He gambled all that. Baby home, no milk, nothing. But yet God saved him one Easter Sunday morning. He walked down the aisle and trusted the Lord Jesus. Somebody like myself preached the gospel to him. I did preach the gospel to him. And he got saved. And now he's pastor of the church. And they just celebrated 20 years of church ministry. And he's running well over 200 people every Sunday now. God's just doing marvelous things there with him. And then I was over to another church I started. I started Victory Baptist Church, Brother Ivan Carey. I was over there and just seeing what God... See, that's what the gospel can do. The gospel will do it. It's not any of our programs. It's not anything that we can do. If we'll just get the gospel to the multitude, God can do great and mighty things. I've got a fellow that he just went back to the States. He was with me about 2 or 3 weeks. His name is Seabury Nabarro. Seabury Nabarro is one of the most interesting men that you'll ever meet. Seabury Nabarro is a Kenyan. He was born and raised in Kenya. His grandfather had 5 wives. I don't know why he did with 5 wives, but anyhow, he had 5 wives. And his daddy decided that he was not going in that direction. And he married 1 wife, and that's where Seabury come from. And Seabury was a young man that was living back in, it's hard to explain it to you, but it's back in the jungles. God led him to get an education. He began to teach high schoolers, 9th grade, I think it was. And while he was in high school, there was a missionary that came to the field. Seabury can explain it much better than I can. I'd rather hear him say it than me. But that missionary came and preached the gospel, gave him the gospel. He had a choice to do whatever he wanted to do, and he accepted it and believed it. God transformed his life. Gave him a little Bible school, went to Bible school about 3 years. graduated from Bible school. God began to deal with his heart, and he went right down in the middle of a Muslim, right in the middle of Muslims, and started a little church. And that's when I started going to Kenya, Africa. First time I went, he had a little, looked like about a 10 by 10 building. It was packed plumb full, door to door, wall to wall, people everywhere, people standing outside peeping through the little window they had. Next time I went back, it was doubled. Next time it was even doubled. The next time it was so long I couldn't hardly see to the end of it. People still getting saved, just left, right, and center. Then he got him a piece of property across the road, nice big piece of property, and built a building over there. And now he's filling that thing up pretty good every day. But when I met Brother Seabury, that's back in 1999, when I met Brother Seabury, he asked me a question. I never had, from that day to this, have anybody ever asked me. And that question was, can you help us reach our nation? Can you tell somebody how to reach a nation? I can tell how to reach somebody. Amen. I know how to reach somebody. I know how to reach people. But to reach a nation, well, that's how you reach a nation, one body at a time. Amen. Brother Seabury took it serious. He said, I can do that. Brother Seabury started, there was five churches. He rented a motel room, if you want to call that a motel room. With five preachers sitting in there, five of them. And they asked me that question, can you help us reach our nation? And I thought, Lord, have mercy, what can I do and what can I say that would help them to accomplish that? Five preachers sitting there. And I remember the message I preached. I preached there in John chapter 6 about Jesus feeding the multitude, feeding the 5,000, not counting women and children. I remember preaching it. After he got done, he said, we're going to do that. We can do that. And they take it upon themselves from 1999 up to this present day. Can I say last year, they literally preached probably to more than 100,000 people, and 60,000 of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, was followed the Lord in believers' baptism, and have joined churches. That's hard to believe in. Y'all are stunned. You don't even act like what I'm talking about. You don't act like I know what I'm talking about. I hardly know what I'm talking about, but it's true. I was there. I've seen it. Amen. But what I'm saying is, Brother Seabury began to do it. And these other men, I think about John Stone Jomo, big, tall, lanky guy, just a God-fearing man, just go after it like there's no tomorrow. Built 29 Baptist churches. Not a one of them has a roof on it except with banana leaves. Dirt floors. Mud walls built with mud and cow dung. I don't know what the cow dung's for, but they put cow dung with it. I guess it give it aroma. Amen. I'm not sure. But what great men these are. But today, Brother Seabury, I wish he could give you his testimony. I wish he could stand here and give his testimony. I'd rather hear him than hear me. But what a great man. He has 1,200 Baptist churches. 1,200. What a man. Brother Tom Sexton and I, we went there about five or six, I don't know exactly how long ago, been a little while ago, and we helped him get started with the FAIB, Fellowship of African Independent Baptists, FAIB. And we put them all together. We've got, can you imagine somebody living in the jungles of Africa, and they got an email? They do. I mean, they ride down the road or walk down the road with their cell phone. Yeah. Everybody's got, if you don't have a cell phone, you really are nobody. But they got cell phone and they got email. We registered 1,200 preachers with email addresses and telephone numbers. And there, we're talking about, I was in a meeting out in the jungles several years ago, and we pulled up on the side of the road. I may have told this before, but I'll tell it again. Some of you act like you've never seen me before, but that's all right. But some of you won't admit it. That's all right. But anyhow, we pulled up on the side of the road, and I asked a question. I shouldn't have asked it, but I asked it anyhow. But I asked a question, what are we going to do here? And he said, well, we're going to have a service. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, where's the church? You know what he said? It'll be here in a minute. It did. It showed up in a minute. Come out of the jungles. I mean, they come out, and boy, I mean, they sit in that big old open field, and they sit right on the ground. And I thought, boy, this won't happen in America. It wouldn't happen nowhere except in places like that. But I'm just simply saying, 1,200 Baptist churches. In the last 3 years, they've had 250,000 people trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. Every service, they preach the gospel. You say, can that happen in America? I believe that's what needs to be done in America. I don't believe there's nothing else will transform America other than the gospel message of Jesus. I was going to preach something else, but I want to preach something else. Be all right? You won't mind, do you? You wouldn't know what I was going to preach anyhow, but I'm going to preach something else. I want you to look with me in John's Gospel chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6. If I preached it before, y'all be quiet. If I have not, y'all go ahead and listen. Amen? But in John's Gospel chapter 6, I want to ask you a couple questions. John's Gospel chapter 6, I'm still turning. You can go ahead and turn a while if you want to. John chapter 6. I appreciate you folks letting me in tonight. We're just traveling through, and me and my wife been fussing and fighting all the way down the road. But anyhow, we've enjoyed ourselves. We really have. You know, when you get in tight quarters, y'all don't know anything about that, do you? Amen. Come on now. Y'all don't be like that. Y'all be nice to me now. You got to listen to me. I'm a preacher now. You ain't got your pastor up here. He's holy and righteous and godly and all that stuff. But anyhow. I want to give you a question. You know, so many times we get so confused. You know, one of the most confusing things is me going to church and sit down and listen to preachers. And I know that you're probably confused listening to me tonight. That's all right. We'll try to unconfuse you here in a minute. If we don't, we'll do something. But, you know, one of the most confusing things, as I see it, is people not knowing what God really wants to be done. You know, people are asking the question. They're asking all the time, what is God's work? You ever thought about what is this thing called God's work? You know, what is it that God wants me to do as a Christian? You know, if you look at Christians, you think the only thing they do is come to church and sit down and look dumb. I mean, look smart. Isn't it? Isn't that the way we are? We come to church and we come in and you know, we shake hands and we smile, you know, and we're happy, you know, try to be. And as soon as we get out the door, all of a smile goes away and everything else goes away. And we're just confused people because we really don't understand what God's work is. What is God's work? You ever thought about it? You know, is this it? Is this all it is? This is a place where we come together. Just like I was down there, I was telling you about a while ago, I asked the question, where's the church? Because I didn't see no building. And he said, the church will be here in a minute. See, we've almost made the building our God. We've almost come to the conclusion that the padded pews and the carpet on the floor and the air conditioning, the heat system or whatever we may have, that's what God is all about. That is God's work. The greatest work is outside those doors. See, if we don't see that, see, unless we understand the gospel is for them that are lost, unless we understand the gospel is for those that have never heard the gospel, and we have the responsibility of getting the gospel to them around the world, that's our job. I'm not just talking about around the world. When I say around the world, you look at me as a missionary and you say, well, he goes around the world. No, I'm not interested in everybody going. I'm interested in people building good, solid churches in America. That's what we need. We need good ministries. We need good people that will not just make the church, but to reach the lost. People are dying and going to a devil's hell tonight. I don't know if you've woke up to that yet or not. Many of us have not. Most of us say, well, I've done my duty. Bless God, I'm in church tonight. No, no, no. If that's all the duty you have, you might as well stay at home tonight. I mean, this is the cream on the cake over here tonight. We come over here. We're God's children. Now, I'm not going to preach to lost people because most likely there will not be any lost people unless you just slipped in. And we're going to get to you in a minute anyhow. But at the same time, this reason we're here is because we're worshiping the Almighty God. That's what we're here for. But yet, this is not what God intended for us to do, just attend church on a regular basis and forget the loss without God. We can't do that. And that's what's happened. And people are scratching their head today and say, what is it that God wants me to do? Is there something that God wants me to do? Yeah, there is. And we're going to look at it. I want you to look with me, if you will, in John's Gospel, chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 28. Disciples was always questioning, was asking questions. And here they was asking the question about the work of God. Exactly what I'm speaking on tonight. That's the reason I turn to this passage, because we're talking about the work of God. Amen? Then said they unto him, who? Who is they? That's the disciples. And who are they telling him? And they said unto him, who is him? That's Jesus, the Lord Jesus. They asked him a question. Jesus answered, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They're interested, aren't they? They want to know, what is this work you want us to do? You know, they didn't quite understand that Jesus has come from God. Maybe they might. Maybe, but I doubt it. But yet, is that it? Is that the reason that you've come? That you're going to do what? So what is there for me to do? See, Jesus already finished the work. The task is done. Jesus suffered, bled, died on the cross of Calvary. Not in this passage. Don't get me excited. Don't get excited. But yet here they're asking the question. What is the work of God? Notice once again, let's read it quickly. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They've got this question out to the Lord Jesus. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 29, Jesus answered. Now the boss is going to speak, amen? The Lord Jesus, the Lord God of heaven, is going to answer the question. What is the answer? Then said Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. You going to get it? Don't miss it. You're reading ahead. You're missing it. You're going to miss it. You know, it's so simple that we miss it. We overlook it. Even in this passage, we overlook it. We're thinking that, hey, what is the work of God? We think all kinds of things. We send our students off to Bible college, and they go to 4 years of Bible school. They come back, and they're more mixed up than they was when they left. I'm sorry, but that's what happens. It took me. I'm still trying to get that junk out of my head. That's a long time. And you say, are you against Bible school? No, I'm not against Bible school. Everybody needs a Bible school. Amen. A little bit, anyhow. Here the question, if you're not careful, you'll miss it. Notice what it says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe. Good gracious. That's so simple. Let's forget about that. I had a pastor tell me one time about a preacher. Good friend of mine. Dear friend of mine. In fact, it was Tom Sexton they were talking about. Said, we don't like Tom because he's too simple. Simple? What do you mean by that? Well, all he does is preach the gospel. Duh. I wish that was said about me. Don't you? You know, so many times, you know, I probably could take probably anybody here, and I could bring you forward, and many of you may know more than I do. You know, we major on knowledge, what we know. You ever notice this? Boy, I mean, we go after knowledge. We're full of knowledge. We're interested in knowing what happened to the image in Daniel. What is heaven all about. We dig deep and we try to get all of this knowledge about these different areas. You know, the Bible takes up a couple of chapters about David and Goliath, or at least one chapter. He takes up a lot of time. You remember David down there with those little sheep, and his father says, "Go up. We've got some men up there. Got some your brethren up there. They need some goodies from home. And would you go up there and help them?" David went up there and saw that uncircumcised Philistine walking up and down through there. What's this war all about? It's about him. What are we going to do about it? You know, we hear people. I guarantee you there's been a discussion. If you're a Christian, there's been a discussion in your home or with other Christians probably this week about what's going on in our world. What's happening? We don't quite put it all together. It's difficult. But David is no different. He goes there with his brethren, takes the food to him, and he sees this Philistine walking up down through there, and he said, "Hey, what are we fighting this war about? What's this war all about? Is there not a cause? I mean, won't somebody take care of this guy?" And David goes on and on and on and on. He finally taking it upon himself. He said, "I'm going to do something. David, you're just a young boy. You can't do anything. Oh, I'm not coming in my own strength. I'm going in the strength and power of my Almighty God. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take this giant's head off his shoulder." They all looked at him like he's crazy. I see some of the missionaries. I love to go to missions conference. I was in a missions conference just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, and a fairly big church, and these missionaries coming in from everywhere. And I see these young missionaries coming in, and I mean, they'll charge hell with a water gun. I mean, they just wide open. And I like that kind of faith, don't you? It don't last long, but it I like to see it anyhow, amen. But David was up there, and the people said, just don't get excited. Yeah, there's a problem up there. There's that uncircumcised Philistine. Somebody needs to do something about that. David said, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to take his head off." And he did. Knocked him out with a stone, reached over on top of his head, and took his sword and sliced his head off his shoulder. Now, why was that done? That's the question. What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of the story of David and Goliath? It's this: that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That's what it's about. See, that's what this church is all about. It's making known the God of gods and the Lord of lords and King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that suffered on the cross of Calvary and died on the cross of Calvary and was buried in a tomb and resurrected the third day and now is gone to heaven and he's coming again for those that believe that. That's what it's all about. See, we get mixed up in what the work of the Lord is. The Bible says believing. Is that what it says? Notice, if you will. This is the work of God, that you believe. What you going to believe? Believe on him whom he had sent. God had a son. You know the story, right? Oh, you're Christians. Don't be fiddling with me. You know you believe it. You know how that you became a Christian. That's right. Why God sent his son to this earth to suffer, bleed and die and be buried and rose again from the grave. That's what it's all about. See, I could take a lot of people that would know more than I, but it should never be said that people would believe more than I. When's the last time we moved mountains? Bible said if you got the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. I like that. Every time I say that, I remind a preacher that was preaching a few months ago. He was saying that a mustard seed has got, I think, 3 or 4 grains in it. In other words, it's got actually the potential of four mustard plants or three mustard plants. Now, that may not be significant to you, but it's very significant to me. He didn't say the faith of a mustard seed. He said the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. If you got one-fourth or one-third of however many is in that little pod, if you got the faith of that, you can tell that mountain to remove. Do you believe that? No, oh, that's charismatic. No. That's Baptist doctrine. If we say to that mountain, move, it'll move. But you know, we've come to the conclusion that we're not going to move mountains. We're satisfied doing the work of God the way we want to. Have you ever thought about it? In the last 100 years, we've been teaching the same thing and no revival. We've been preaching the same thing, no revival. If you go to some of our churches, you'll find out why there's no revival. Very little gospel is being preached. When the gospel is not preached. That's what you're reading Paul said. Do you know something? If God wanted to save a soul here tonight, the only way he could save a soul is the fact that we would give God something to work with. And what is that? Believe on him whom he has sent. And why did he send him? That he might go to the cross, that he might be buried, and he might be resurrected and go back to heaven. That's the reason he said when he ascended back from the Mount of Olives, going back to heaven, he said, I want you to do something for me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is right boring, ain't it? Don't you think? You know, that's where we at today is because of the fact we can't get a hold of that. We don't understand that. Now, I'm not fussing at you. If I had the whole world, I'd preach the same message. I wouldn't change a lick. I'm saying the whole world needs to hear this. The only way that the world can ever be transformed, the only way that God can ever save a soul, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached. And then God can do something. That's where we're at today. Want to see the movement of God? That's how I got saved. Somebody told me. My brother got saved in July 1968. He got all over me, stayed all over me until I got saved in March of 1969. He kept telling me that Jesus died and buried and rose again. Said, you got to believe that. TJ, you got to believe that. TJ, you got to believe that. Believe what? Believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. You got to believe that. And finally, I come to my senses. And I believed that, and God transformed my life. And when I understood that, God sent me out around the world. God will do something. But that's where we're at. We want to be comfortable. Americans are notorious to be comfortable. I wish I could take you to Africa, go to Kenya, or go up to India, up in northeast India. There's a little old boy up there. He's not as big as a minute. He's probably comes up to me about right here. And just a fireball, just a great man, just a good boy. Built, I think, about 12, 14 churches up in there. Just on fire. But let me tell you how he got saved. Little old boy lying in his bed, just a teenager, I think he was, maybe not even a teenager. His mother was concerned about it, thought he might die. Am I going too long? What time am I supposed to quit? Okay. That's dangerous. Because I want to go to bed, so I quit. But his mother was afraid he's going to die. And she went down to the market, trying to find something for her son to take, some kind of herb or some kind of witchcraft medicine or whatever. And she, while she's there going up and down trying to find something for her son to take for his sickness, didn't know if it was sick, being sick unto death, or if it was going to, just something that would pass in a few days or whatever. She didn't know. And there was a South Indian from the south, maybe Andhra Pradesh, maybe somewhere else down south. He had taken a piece of paper and had written it out, had written out on a piece of paper the gospel message. How that Jesus, how God loved the world and sent Jesus into the world, how that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And as she's walking through there, she's never been to school in a day of her life. She don't know anything about reading and writing, and she don't know what she has in her hand. But she's got a sneaky suspicion that it might be Christianity. She's a devout Hindu. As she walks back to the house, she's got it folded up, and she's holding it, and she's going back. She's so fearful that it's Christianity. If it is, I don't want my son to be around that. And she said, well, I'll never know unless I give it to my son. She gets back to the house and she takes and gives this piece of paper to her son and he reads it. And you know what happened, right? He got saved. Because of the message. He believed that Jesus was sent from God to die on an old rugged cross and was buried and rose again. He believed that. And you know, it wasn't but a couple of days later he got feeling better. And his family said, you know, maybe there's some miracle working power in this thing. Read it to us. And he stood up in his house and began to read this written out, handwritten gospel message that a South Indian, I'm talking about he's all the way up just about to China, bring it to this villager. And he reads it to his family, and all of his family believes it and gets transformed. The only one that didn't get saved and get transformed was his mother. She died a Hindu. You know, the family said, you know, this has been good for our family. Let's tell other villagers about it. What we'll do is we'll invite them into our home, as many as we can get in, or maybe you can stand on the outside and we can tell all the villagers come, and you can read that. Many got saved in that village. You see, a gospel tract can go along. Anybody want to pull out a gospel tract? You say, you're just showing. I know it. I like to show off once in a while. It's okay. No problem. You can go ahead and show it off. I don't mind. Can you do it? Yep. Got the motor running. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. But yet, they said, hey, we just don't want to reach our village. Let's go to the next village. I believe that's called, what's that called? That's called missions. We'll go to the next. Do you know I preached in all three of those churches? There was a Baptist came to town and all three of those churches baptized three congregations. Can you believe that? You think I'm making that story up? I wished I could make up that one that good. That'd be a lie, wouldn't it? I'm not going to lie to you. I preached them. One church has got over 300 people in it today. What am I saying? The Bible says, what is the work of God? The disciples asked the question, what is the work of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe on him whom God has sent. He sent his darling son to this earth. The purpose of redeeming man, woman, boy, and girl. All that would believe that. And listen, what he's trying to do, he's trying to multiply that and send it all over. Do you know something? This is disturbing. Should be disturbing to you. There's not much that disturbs America no more. There's never been but one time that the gospel has been turned upside down with the gospel. You know when that was? Anybody remember? Under Apostle Paul. From that day to this, we've had pockets of revival, but the world has never been turned upside down. I'm convinced to the depths of my soul tonight, the reason that this world is on its way to a devil's hell is because they've never heard the gospel. They've heard about religion. I can take you to a country tonight that's got a billion, that's with a B, Muslims in it. I can take you to a country that's got a billion souls in it that are Hindus, Buddhist, a billion people. I can take you places where there's a billion Catholics. Why is it there's so many people in the world, but yet there's no transformation in the hearts and lives of those people? I know why. It's because we fail to get the gospel to them. I don't know anybody more wicked than the ones that I'm talking to tonight before they got saved. Come on now. But you know what transformed you? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that God sent His only Son to die on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what you believe. Somebody shared the gospel with you. And when the gospel is shared with you, you get transformed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. What does the world need tonight? We talk about ISIS. Just a moment ago, I was talking about Iraq. Had 45 house churches. Now those house churches is dwindling. God opened so graciously the door of Iraq, but we wouldn't walk in. Now Iraq's a very dangerous place for anybody to tread. Even Arabs, even Shiites and Sunnis, it's dangerous for anybody freelancing in those areas now. God graciously opened the door of Sudan, broke off a piece of it and called it Southern Sudan. I heard old Julius Magoo. Julius Magoo was a tall, lanky guy, loved the Lord. He came out, and I got a hush. He came out of the country of Sudan, southern Sudan, because of the fact that everybody around him was getting killed or had been killed. And he was running for his life, him and his brother and his two sisters. He came to the border of Kenya in a refugee camp, 200,000 people in a refugee camp. We was in a conference one year, and I begged them men. I said, what we need to do is start a church at that refugee camp. Let's try to reach some of those refugees. Seabury took it upon himself to start a church there. Just a little old run-down mud hut. Julius McGoo one day walked out and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Went to Bible school. I remember when he walked across the platform, and I handed him his diploma that he'd worked so hard to get. I remember when he told us, he said, I asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going back to southern Sudan. I said, isn't it dangerous? He said, of course it's dangerous. But my loved ones live there. I've got to go back. And he went back. He claimed the biggest tree he could find because he needed all the shade he could get because he's going to build a big church. Start a church under a shade tree. Church got so big that he decided he was going to start another one, and the only way he could do that was to have a Bible institute. Start a Bible institute. We're talking about in a dangerous place where there was more than 1 million people lost their life because they were Christians. Started a Bible institute under the tree. Trained 14 men, 7 of them. The government said, they're mine. We're going to take them because they speak English, Arabic, and also something else, their dialect. Spoke about 4 languages. 7 of them started churches. What am I saying? The gospel works. The only reason it won't work is because it's not been given. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, how we rejoice tonight for the gospel. We know it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh God, move upon our hearts tonight. May we not be stagnant, complacent, May we not be ignorant of the blessed good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. May we believe it. And may you give us an understanding to get it out to the highways and the hedges. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and the Lord's spoken to your heart and you say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. I need to do something about this particular thing tonight. I need to be involved. I don't need just preach it. I need to get it to every home." Used to be a ministry in India called Every Home Ministry. Their whole endeavor was to reach every home with the gospel. You say, "I've not given the gospel like I'm supposed to. God spoke in my heart." Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, yes. I'm going to ask the preacher to come and take the invitation and do what needs to be done. God bless you, sir.
Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Mr. Dawson's going to play a hymn of invitation. You know, a message like that just piggybacks off of what Brother Bird said on Sunday night and Sunday morning. The will of God. What are we going to do with what has been presented to us tonight? The gospel message still needs to go out, still needs to be given. When we give the gospel, we give a track, we give what God has laid upon our heart, what God has done for us. They ask, "What can we do to work the works of God?" He said, "Believe on him whom he has sent." How can they believe? They don't hear. You know, we all did our part. We'd multiply ourselves. What about you tonight? Maybe you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Have you believed the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe tonight you need to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again, how you can be saved. If you're already saved, then how about making a commitment to share the gospel with someone tomorrow? Maybe someone tonight. Maybe giving out a tract at your workplace, or maybe at your place that you frequent. Maybe a family member. Folks, this is just simple as that. It's all about the gospel. It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, "Preacher, we hear that all the time." And we should hear it all the time, because it's about people getting saved. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. That's how Brother Tilly got saved. That's how Pastor Bennett got saved. That's how that church got started there. That's how this church got started here. Because it's all based upon the gospel. Maybe God has moved upon your heart. That person or those persons that you need to share the gospel with. Maybe just being more fervent and soul winning. Pastor White's already given an invitation. We'll be here Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. Where will you be? "A preacher, I've got things to do." Well, do it some other time, but do it. Souls need to be saved. Souls need to be reached. Say, "Preacher, I'm saved." But oh, Brother Tilly just gave you a listing of so many others that are not saved. It's all about the gospel. It's about the gospel. Say, "Preacher, that's simple." Yes, it is very simple. But it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What would God have you to do? Let God speak to your heart. Father in heaven, thank you so much for, Lord, just the continual reminders about how important the gospel message is, how important it is to get the gospel to those men, women, boys, and girls that surround us, how important it is for us to go in the highways and the byways and compel men to come, and Lord, how important it is to take the message of the gospel with us wherever we go. Lord, I pray that we might be continuing to be faithful and soul winning and giving the gospel message out. You never told us to save a soul, but you said the gospel message would save souls that you've already prepared. And God, all around us, there are people that you have prepared to get saved. We just have to find the one that needs the gospel by giving the gospel to each one that we see. Lord, give us opportunities. Give us the way. Lord, give us just the means to do exactly what you've asked us to do, and that's to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Teaching them to observe all things whichever you've commanded us to do. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here in your house, Lord. Thank you for those that are saved because of the gospel. Lord, help us to beg you to do more through us and the Holy Spirit's power to get the gospel message out. Lord, help us not to be cumbered about with other things, but to realize there is a real war against the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And men, women, boys, and girls need to be saved. And they can only hear that message from us who are saved. And Lord, help us not to hide our gospel, as Brother Byrd said on Sunday. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. And Satan's got people's minds blinded, Lord, so eloquently to talk to us on Sunday. But Lord, help us to take that to heart and go and share the light of the gospel to unblind those minds that are blinded right now. Because it is the gospel that can save and can minister and can work in people's lives. I thank you for loving us, Lord. Now we do pray that you would guide, direct, and lead. And Brother Tilly's travels, give him safety. And Lord, that he and Tamala, as they go from church to church, Lord, as he preaches the gospel, we pray that souls would be saved when they hear the message of Jesus Christ. Help us to leave here with a burdened heart, Lord, and a fervor in our minds to do more than we've done before for the sake of souls here in Tucson and the surrounding areas and in the unreached areas into the uttermost parts. Thank you again for the blessing of being in your house tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.